If you weren't born with a trust fund, but feel like you should have one, you are in the right place. Welcome to Old Money, a podcast dedicated to breaking down the new rules to living well and getting wealthy. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. And while I don't have any insider trading secrets, I do have some secrets about how getting rich is actually an inside job. I'm your host, Amber Evenson. Now, let's get into it. Hello, rich girls. We're back. I'm back. It's me, your host, Amber Evenson. You're listening to the Old Money Podcast, the podcast for women building the trust funds they wish they were born with. Happy summer. It's July. I've missed you all so much. I'm so happy to be pressing record today and spending some time with you because I have so much to share with you. Today's episode, you're going to really, really love this episode if you're aligning with living your wealthiest summer ever. And I've just had so much time to reflect and plan and create that I'm so happy to be back doing that with you again. So how are you? Check in with me. Are you getting everything you want out of this summer? If you are not yet, don't fret because I am here with an incredible framework that we're going to talk about that's all about time wealth. We've talked a lot about the five different dimensions of wealth as defined by Dan Sullivan. We have time wealth, relationship wealth, purpose wealth, health wealth, and of course, money wealth. So the five different dimensions are really all the things that give us a really rich life. It's not just about the money in your bank. And in honor of having summer right here in front of us, I want to talk about summer vacation. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, the thought of summer vacation is so nostalgic. It brings me right back to being a kid. And if you have kids now, you're probably seeing this through their eyes, but it's when you're looking down the barrel of the summer at the beginning, right? When school gets out, or when you're just in the thick of it, in the middle of summer, and just time stretches out in front of you. And it's just, what are you going to do to fill your days? There's no more waking up early for school. There's no homework. Even as a kid, you just have this inherent understanding that your life for the summer is all about having fun and doing what you want to do. Now, of course, some of us maybe went to summer camp or daycare, had babysitters, whatever, but this energy of I get to create what's happening this summer, all of a sudden, I don't have a schedule anymore. To me, that always felt so expansive and fun. And it was like, who am I going to play with? What are we doing for my birthday? What adventures are we going to go on? Where are we going to ride bikes? What books am I going to read? I'm going to do crafts. I'm going to play games. It was always just about creativity and following bliss and joy, which is something that is so natural for children, but so challenging for adults. So with that in mind, I've really been thinking about this framework of building my wealthiest summer ever. And part of that was taking a break from old money. I was taking a page from the European playbook. As you probably know, in Europe, it's very customary to take the whole month of August or September off to travel. In Europe, they get way more PTO, and it's a different cultural thing because everybody does it. Like everything shuts down in August in some countries, in September a little bit in other countries, and everybody's traveling and nobody's really working. It's culturally accepted to be taking that amount of time off, and it's viewed as very important. And I used to have this framework or this idea in my head that, oh, well, I could never do that in the US because if I took a whole month off, then I would fall behind, or everybody else is still working. So why do I deserve to take so much time off? I've got to be there grinding. I need my clients to know that I'm doing everything I can. And there was a big mindset shift there in the realization that, okay, as you level up in your income and your freedom, that is what people are doing. It isn't so uncommon. It is totally uncommon if you are entry-level job, if you're just starting out in your career. Your company needs you to be there to do your work that you've signed up for. But there's also ways that you can be flexible with that. So I think about this as a business leader all the time. Like, if my team is still delivering, making their deadlines, doing quality work, can I offer them a little bit more flexibility? 100%. And I need to offer that same flexibility to myself. So I took some time off this June. And we did a little frolic around Europe, and I took some time off from my business and also from the podcast. And so we did the top 10 encore episodes of Old Money, which, by the way, you guys loved. The download numbers were actually amazing. I think it's a huge, I mean, we have a library, a canon of all of these incredible episodes that you can and should go back and listen to. And I promise you, you will listen to it like it's the first time you've heard it, because we take in so much information as humans that it'll feel fresh again. It'll feel new again. But I do this with myself all the time. Like, I have a lot of teachers that I go back to and listen to old podcasts that I've saved over and over again to get myself in the right energy or mindset or practice of whatever they're talking about. So anyway, I felt like it would be a good opportunity for me to take a break from creating, to rest, to reflect, but also kind of keeping the lights on, so to speak, by doing the top 10 episodes, which I'm so happy that you guys loved. But it really a challenge for me, because I'm so wired to be productive. And in this whole exploration of time wealth, I've really had to decouple time value and productivity, because time can be valuable even if you're not productive. And I recognize that I had all of these different ideas about time that I actually really wanted to change. I used to make this joke, and I would say, oh my God, my boss is such a bitch. She always has me working, knowing full well that, like, I am my own boss and I was being a bitch to myself. And if you don't work for yourself and you still have a very intense summer schedule, I still think there's a lot of ways, especially with the longer days, where you can maximize your summer experience and create something memorable, something different, and really lean into celebrating your life this season. So before we get into that, and I have an incredible, easy framework for you to work through while you're listening to this podcast about what it is you want to get out of this summer, and we're going to leverage time to figure it out, let me just do a really quick recap for you about our summer vacation, where I've been and what's been going on, because it has been an old money summer. So first of all, if you've been following along, you probably know that Justin and I eloped in March. March 25th, we eloped in Cabo at the Cape, a Thompson Hotel, which is our favorite place on the planet. And we had a very intimate ceremony and week, and it was like a mini vacation, mini honeymoon, I mean, with just the two of us. It was just us exchanging our vows, being super present, which was so good for me because I really wanted to root into my connection with Justin and myself and be really, really present for that. And we had just the best time ever. It was definitely a vacation, not a trip. Like, we've been to the Cape so many times before. We know what to expect. We love the vibes there, like the pool vibes. There's no better pool, in my opinion, in all of North America than the pool at the Cape. Like, the vibes are immaculate. The people are immaculate. The music is immaculate. The view is immaculate. The drinks, it's just the best place ever. So it was just such an incredible, it was like one of our regular vacations, but like sprinkle in one of the most important days of both of our lives into it. So appreciative and so amazing. And then we also had decided to do a friends and family event in June to celebrate with everybody that we love. And so from the elopement to June, it was absolutely a push to the finish of getting everything planned and organized. And wow, what a freaking weekend that was. So on June 7th, we had a party at Justin's parents' house. They were kind enough to lend us their home for the evening to host a party with market lights and a full bar, so much food catered by Justin's godmother's company. And we just had the most incredible time. It was honestly so overwhelming for me because I had friends that came from the other side of the country, from DC, from Florida, from Ohio, from Texas, I mean, Northern California, LA, like everybody that I loved was there, including my mom, who has not been to San Diego since I graduated from college. So it was a huge deal that she was there to celebrate, and I was just so overwhelmed and grateful. That party, like, it should have gone on for 15 hours. It was like 5 hours long, was not enough time. We had so much fun, and I just felt so overwhelmed. And it wasn't a real wedding, right? So we were just like at the party the whole time, which was great. I didn't want anything wedding adjacent, just a great party, great cocktails, lots of food. And it still wasn't enough time to see everyone and spend time with everyone. And it was so, it felt like it went by in a flash. So I'm so grateful Justin planned a second day of the celebration at the Lafayette Hotel in San Diego. If you know, you know. It is the wildest, most incredibly decorated, fun hotel with an amazing pool. We rented out the cabana, and anybody who could make it on Sunday came and partied with us for another day. And we had the cabana for another many hours, and we had drinks and food and fun and floaties, and it was just iconic, just so fun. And a lot of people were able to stay at the Lafayette. Justin and I stayed there as well with a little suite next to the pool. It was so good. And what was crazy about that was all of this was happening, and I had already had to have been packed for us to leave on the Monday after that weekend to fly to Barcelona for our honeymoon. And we had to go with such a quick turnaround time because we had tickets for Rufus Du Sol in Barcelona on June 11th, which I think was a Wednesday. And we saw Rufus Du Sol perform, and this crazy, it literally looked like Disneyland, you guys. It was this like old plaza from like the 1700s up on this hill in Barcelona. It was like the most iconic thing. And I feel like this is going to be my new excuse to travel, going to see a concert in a different location than just the terrible amphitheater we have here in San Diego, because it was so cool to see them in such a unique venue that had so much access to them. We were standing literally just to this right of the stage, and I'm telling you, I could hear the drums like live, not through the speakers, and being so close and so tied into the music was just like iconic, just so good. And from there, we flew to Ibiza, and that was like club, another club, bus, plane, another club. We went to Pasha, we went to High Ibiza, we went to a couple of different beach clubs. We had so much fun in Ibiza. But when we got to Mallorca and I got to Palma, I was so overwhelmed because it is the most gorgeous, charming, adorable, cute, small little place. It's like the south of France meets Game of Thrones, because it's a seaside town, but it's so medieval. Everything there is built in like the 1200s. We stayed in the Nobis Hotel Palma, and the building that we stayed in is one of the oldest in Palma. It was from the 12th century. It was originally a palace, like it's where a family lived. And to think about people walking around in this space as their home 1,000 years ago is overwhelmingly like, I don't know, it just really roots you back to all the people that have lived before us and just the passage of time and how incredible it is that we get to still travel and experience all these special places. And I'm telling you, this particular hotel is such, in my mind, like it's where I go in my mind when I'm in hypnosis. And I didn't even know this place existed when I was doing hypnosis last year, but there was some weird familiarity for me there with Palma and the architecture and just, I don't know, maybe I've been there in a previous life. So anyway, we leave Palma, we go back to Barcelona for a night, we're flying back on a Monday, and we get to the airport to check in. And I'm walking around the airport check-in desks, and I'm like, where is American Airlines? Where is American Airlines? And I'm looking at all of the screens, and I'm asking the info person, and they're like, oh, it's right over here. And literally all the screens are black, they're turned off for the check-in desks. There's not a single employee or attendant. I'm looking at people's uniforms, not a single American Airlines employee. So I'm like walking around looking for help. I go back to the same guy 3 times. I'm like, hey, I just don't see the check-in desk. And then he goes, oh, they must have closed. You've missed your flight. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? What happened? And I'm talking about full on shaking, crying panic, because we're in literally the airport with our luggage, ready to fly home to see our dog. And we're being told that we missed check-in. Well, what had happened was they delayed the flight many hours, but they still closed the check-in desk, not only before our original check-in time, but even earlier than that. So by the time we had made it to the airport, we literally didn't even have a check-in desk to check into, and they just kicked us off the flight. So we're standing in the main area of the Barcelona airport. Justin's on the phone with American Airlines. I'm on the phone with American Airlines. And by the grace of God, he talks to somebody with British Airways because that's how I originally booked the ticket. And they're like, well, we can get you out tonight at 10 o'clock. It was like 2 at this point. Tonight at 10 o'clock or tomorrow at 7 a.m. Or we can put you on a flight today to London. And so we looked at each other and we said, oh, okay, London? Never been. We flew through there and we went to Heathrow on the way to Barcelona. But we rerouted for a full free day, extra extended vacation on our honeymoon to London for a day. And it was the recognition for me, this whole moment of the wealth that I have in my life over my time. Because if I would have worked for another company, I would be like, oh no, I can't ask for more time off. I'm gonna get in trouble. And that fear of breaking the rules would have probably gotten in the way for me. Same thing with Justin, honestly. But side note, he's on a sabbatical this whole month for his job because of his tenure at the company. So he also had flexibility. I had flexibility. And because we had flexibility and we removed these rules from our life, like I have to get back from work. Granted, I own my own business. He's on a sabbatical. So we had the flexibility. We had the best day ever. We were in London for a total of like 36 hours or something like that. We had the best time. I'm obsessed with London. Do we know any rich girls in London? Like, tell me if you're a rich girl in London because I'm coming back to visit you ASAP. I am so obsessed with this city. It's so beautiful, so manicured, so lovely in the summer. And I just cringe to think about past me saying no to that for fear of missing out or being perceived as not dedicated to my job or not there or fear of getting in trouble. And oh my God, the ability to say yes to that adventure, I mean, it was the best part of our whole trip. So for me, the flexibility and the freedom and the audible into like saying yes to that absolutely divinely planned diversion. I mean, God was telling us, you need to not be done with your honeymoon. You need to go to London. You need to go have this adventure. And I'm so glad that we listened and were open and flexible and down for an adventure because that is the magic of having a summer vacation. Whether you're home or you're traveling abroad or you're traveling domestically, it's about saying yes to pleasure and following what feels good and adventurous and expansive, regardless if it makes sense. Like, it's summer. We should be doing everything that makes us feel so, so good. So in this episode, I want you and me together to continue to own our summer. It's not over yet. We still have until September to own our summer, where the days are still long and we get to own our schedules as much as we possibly can with the confines of the structures that we're working in right now. And we get to design the wealthiest old money summer that we possibly can. And I'm going to use the framework of time to walk us through 3 exercises to design the best summer ever. Are you ready? Okay. So when I say time, obviously the first thing that comes to mind for me is past, present, and future. We're going to use this framework to do some reflection. And then from these reflections, we're going to have super easy, actionable items that are going to literally change the game of your summer immediately. I'm not giving you more to do on your to-do list. It's anti that, okay? We are not giving you more to do on the to-do list. I'm giving you less to do that's going to feel better. So using the past, present, and future framework, we're going to do the reflection and I'm going to give you an action item from it. Are you ready? Okay. Starting with the past, I was talking about my experience of my summer vacations when I was younger. The idea of the summer vacation is that it represents a break from routine. It's free time, creativity, leisure, family, vacations, camping, adventures, just unstructured free time. That's what it conjures up for me. And so, like I said, the last few years, I've really struggled in slowing down in the season in order to be super present with what is happening around me. Like, the days are longer, the weather is great, it's beautiful outside, there's more going on. And yet my default was to just keep doing what I was doing, staying in routine. And so I'm asking us to break routine. And the way that I think we can do this is by reflecting back into the past, into your summer vacations, into your childhood, and asking yourself the question, what brought me joy when I was a child? Now, if we think about a time frame, let's go from like, I don't know, 6 to 11, like childhood child, right? Like when you're actually conscious, you have memories, maybe like first grade, second grade, up until before you're a preteen. What are the things that naturally brought you joy that you like to do? Let me tell you some of the things that I journaled out on my list, okay? If we're talking about ages 6 to 11, I liked to ride bikes. I liked to rollerblade. I spent a lot of time boating, water skiing, swimming in a pool, being in the sun, listening to records on my dad's record player, watching comfort shows or movies. I spent so much time reading, probably American Girl books, but that's fine. I was always into doing creative things, crafts and projects, playing outside, just being outside in the dirt. I was very much attuned to doing what was fun, naturally, because you're a kid. So if I look at my childhood in that kind of a framework of those are the things that I liked to do then, do I still like to do those things now? 1,000%. I would love to ride a bike. I would love to rollerblade. I'd love to be on a boat, swimming in the ocean, swimming in a pool, listening to great music. And am I doing those things? When you're a kid, typically your parents are cultivating for you your environment and your experiences, especially the way that I was raised, which is kind of like bringing up bébé, that French version of child rearing, where you just kind of have your kids go along and do what you do as an adult. That's kind of how I was raised. My mom would do things, my dad would do things, and I would go with them. That was kind of how I was raised. It wasn't a lot about entertaining me. It was like, we're doing this thing and you're involved. And I loved that. I think that was a great way for me to grow up. But now as I look at this list of things that I want to do, I don't even own a bike. I don't own rollerblades, but I could buy some. I mean, I have the income for it. I could buy a bike. I could take myself to the beach or go see friends that have a pool and bring the snacks and the booze or whatever it is. What are the things that I need to do to go out of my way to break routine to enjoy my summer? I have the capacity to take care of all of these things on my list that bring me so much joy, yet am I making time to do them? Am I prioritizing them? And then if we expand this into the past as well, taking yourself to your preteen and teen moments, because I had so much desire then. I had so much desire to live how I wanted to live. And if you are anything like me, it was like you're jumping out of your skin to grow up. And now I'm grown up. And I'm like, what did I want when I was a teenager? When I was a teenager, I was just trying to get out of the suburbs. I was driving to San Francisco every weekend, going to shows, hanging out with my friends, just trying to be cultured and grown up and cool. And here I am as an adult. Am I seeing my friends? Am I going to shows? What am I doing to honor what my childhood heart, my teenage heart wanted? So in that reflection of just going back and asking yourself, what are the things that brought you so much joy? What were the things that you dreamt about doing when you were a teenager? And can you reparent yourself and take care of that child, that teenager, that preteen, and give yourself what you've always wanted? Like that is the thing that we forget. Our parents created the environment for us. And if we want to have more in our life, if we want to do things now, we get to create the environment that we wanted. If we didn't have the summers of our dreams when we were a kid, now's the chance to have it. Now's the chance to give it to yourself. And that is such an act of self-love, to reparent yourself and give yourself all of the things that you wanted to have when you were a kid. So for this part of the framework of going to the past, we're asking ourselves, just really basic, what brought me joy when I was a kid? What brought me joy on summer vacation and how can I add that into my life now? It is such an act of self-love to take care of the inner child, whether it's redesigning the summers you never had or giving yourself all the things that made you happy then. And one thing that I just want to say as a caution is if you have kids, don't work yourself to the bone to give them the summers that you never had. Make sure you get in the water, get your hair wet, get your bike out, enjoy it with them. because you deserve it. Okay, the second piece of the framework, past, present, future, let's talk about the present. Now, this is something that has really, really influenced me recently. I saw this on a TikTok, and it was all about how especially high-achieving women, which if you're listening to this podcast, hello, I see you. High-achieving women tend to give themselves the pressure of a false sense of urgency throughout their days. This is me to a T. I am all about, oh my God, I have this long to-do list. I have to get it all done today. Why? Why do I have to get it all done today? Can any of it wait? Can I give myself a break? What can I do to slow down? Because here's what happens when we give ourselves a false sense of urgency. We give ourselves all of these arbitrary deadlines that we made up. We create rules in our lives about how we have to show up and how we have to perform. And remember, I said this at the top of the show, we have to decouple the value of time from productivity. Time is valuable whether you're productive or not. Also, a lot of times we devalue things that are very productive, like maybe hanging out with your in-laws or your sister or your brother. That might not feel like productive time, but it's being productive in building a relationship, right? So how can we change the framework around relieving ourselves from this pressure to be productive and get things done and check things off the list and have a super clean house or whatever it is that gnaws at your brain that you have to get done? You know, I had last summer, I had this great experience where I had gotten to the end of my to-do list for what felt like the first time ever. And I reached out to my business coach and I was like, this is so weird. Like, this feels different. And she goes, well, make that feel normal. You should be at the end of your to-do list. Because yeah, of course, could I grind it out and always find something to do and always be making sales calls and always be pitching people? I 1000% could always be doing that. But do I want that in my life? Absolutely not. So there's a lot of things that we put on ourselves that have a false sense of urgency or a false sense of importance. And so in the present tense, in the present framework of this exercise, what are the ways that you are creating a false sense of urgency that are zapping your energy, making your nervous system super dysregulated, and now you're just focusing on a to-do list or a checklist or things that you quote unquote have to do when you could 1000% just be at the end of your to-do list if you decided to be there. So the reflection here is just, where am I putting pressure on myself with false deadlines? Or what do I need to say no to? Because that's a huge one, especially for parents with kids that are overscheduled with soccer tournaments and tennis lessons and all of the things that are happening all of the time. What can you take a summer vacation from? Like, will it kill your kid if you gave them 6 weeks off of piano lessons in the summer? I'm speaking from experience as somebody who took piano lessons for 10 years and hated every single minute of it. I would have loved a summer vacation from piano lessons. I hated piano lessons. Can we take a pause? Can we step away from these obligations that are just part of our routine simply because it's summer and simply because we're going to choose to do something different? So in the present tense, where can we put some boundaries in place, say no to things, or maybe you're going to max out your to-do list at just 3 things per day. That's what I do in my business now, by the way. I have 3 main initiatives that I need to complete during the day. That's not just 3 meetings. I'll have like 10 meetings, but 3 things I need to complete. The thing is that the more I add to my list, the more overwhelmed that I get. And the reality is that the less I do, the more high value activities I do. If I'm trying to complete 10 little things versus 3 major things, what's a better use of my time? 100% the 3 major things. So say no, set the boundaries, recognize where you're putting pressure and a false sense of urgency on yourself, and let's just use summer as the excuse, the scapegoat. I will always be your scapegoat. Tell your friends, I listened to this crazy woman on a podcast. I'm unfortunately going to have to bow out of supplying all of the food for the potluck that I don't even want to go to. Whatever it is that you have to say to create some space for yourself so you have time to do the things that brought you so much joy when you were a kid, the rollerblading, the bike riding, the catching lightning bugs, whatever it is, you deserve to do that for your summer. Okay, now the last piece of the framework is the future. And I had this huge moment when I came back from our trip. I was very boundaried with my calendar. I did not overschedule myself. I moved some things around so that I had more space and time to think and be. And I didn't have to come back into a fire hose of information. I really did step by step kind of wade back into the pool of my business, starting with internal meetings to get caught up and realign on strategy for the second half of the year, then doing my own work, then getting back into client work. And I was really having a lot of space in my schedule, not to mention that it was, you know, running into the 4th of July holiday and then my birthdays right after that. So I was like, wow, I have like some room in my schedule. This feels really, really nice. And then it made me think, you know, if I were retired, let's say I was financially independent, retired early, let's say I sell my business tomorrow, I'm living off of the residuals of my investments for the rest of my life, I don't have to work anymore. What would I do? What would I do with my days and my weeks? And I was thinking, well, you know, I would probably continue to do a lot of what I'm doing, which is working out with my trainer, Anna, 2-3 times a week. Right now we're on 2 times a week just for my schedule. But I'd also probably like to add in Pilates. That sounds like something fun for me. And then I'd also like to go on a lot of walks. I'd probably be reading books. I would also, I know me, even if I sold my business, I would still have a project that I was working on the side. Cough, cough, old money, right? Like I'm always going to have something that I work on. I'd probably be really into my health and food and cooking and self-care and get myself, you know, IV therapy treatment or go to more body work, massages, whatever. And so I thought, huh, that's really interesting. Can I live my retired life now? Can I live my retired life now? 100% the answer is yes. Now, I've owned my business. We're going on 7 years in December this year. It is taking me a long time to get to the place where that's possible for me. It really has. But I know all of us have more flexibility in our schedules than we allow, that we allow for ourselves, including myself, who manages her own schedule, yet I still feel beholden to all the clients and the team members and all the things, which they all need to be tended to 1000%. But the way that I designed my retirement life, which by the way, I am fully living my retirement life right now, is just changing my mindset around a couple of things. Like, yes, I can go to 3 workouts per week. And yes, I can do Pilates. And you know what? I'd like to do private Pilates with a one-on-one instructor. So I went in, I booked that. And then what else could I do? Oh, I could be reading a book. Let me download something that is just for pleasure and for fun. And yes, I will go read that book with my dog at the park in the grass and touch the earth, for goodness sakes, instead of touching a laptop. I'm going to go do that right now. And today, just today, I went and walked 15,000 steps. I walked from my place in Bankers Hill all the way down to Malibu Farm in Seaport Village. I mean, I don't know how many miles that is. It's probably like 3.5 miles round trip. 4 miles maybe, but 15,000 steps, like, yes, yeah, I did. And I put my sunscreen on. I have my old money overserved hat to protect myself from the sun, but I got a tan because that's what's good for me. And next weekend, we have plans to go hang out with our family at the pool. I've got caviar dates on calendar. I'm getting a massage next week. I'm living my retired life now. And the reason I'm able to do that is because I'm really owning my time. So this piece of the framework is, if you had nothing else to do but do what feels good for you as an adult, what would that be? What is your retirement life? Are you playing pickleball every day? You playing bridge with your friends? Are you drinking a martini at noon? Whatever feels good for you. How can you schedule in little moments of that throughout your life? And the framework, the mental framework around that for me is so powerful because you know what? I'm going to go to my workouts with my trainer after my work day. Like, and that still for me feels like, ooh, retired life. Or I'm going to go to Pilates before I start work in the morning. And that for me is going to, ooh, feel like retirement life. And I'm going to schedule some extra things on the calendar during the week because I'm making the time for it. I'm going to do play dates with my nieces and nephews because I'm making time for it, because that's what I would do if I were retired. If I were retired, I would 100% just be following my bliss and doing the things that feel good for me. And you know what? It's a good reminder that when I do that, the money just flows to me. I swear to God, every time I go on vacation, we get more business. I was literally in Ibiza on a Friday night, one night, writing a proposal for a huge project in San Diego. I mean, when I travel, when I separate, but I'm just visible in my industry by posting on LinkedIn or doing the things I need to do with video, business flows. So as a recap, we did past, present, and future. So the exercise here in the past is to go and think about what brought you joy on your summer vacation or in your childhood, and then asking yourself how you can give yourself those things today. In the present, we're looking at all of the ways that we create a false sense of urgency for ourselves and how we can set boundaries around saying no to more things that we don't feel aligned with, maybe setting boundaries with ourselves by only giving ourselves 3 things to do per day, and really slowing down and recognizing that we are the creators of all of those arbitrary rules in our lives. So that means we're allowed to break them. And then the future version of this is retirement life. If you had no job, if you had no responsibilities, if you were retired, what are the things that you would do to fill your days? And how can you do those now with your schedule by making a little extra time because you deserve it? It's your summer vacation. So I hope this episode brings you the time wealth you're looking for, because it is one of the 5 dimensions of wealth, and it's honestly such an important one. I want to honor, first of all, the 9-to-5ers out there, the corporate cuties, the moms, the working moms who feel like there isn't enough time. It takes time to get time. This has been a huge process for me. Even in owning my own business and feeling safe to take the time for myself, it's a muscle. So as you go through your experience, whether it's working for somebody else or raising babies, whatever it is that you're doing, this is a muscle, and you're not going to have an extra 25 hours in a week right away if you're giving yourself 0. But if you can give yourself 2 hours a week, I promise you, framework it around, it's my summer vacation, it's giving my child, my childhood me what I want, my present me what I need, and my future me the life they desire. I promise you it's going to make a huge impact in your enjoyment this summer. Go follow your bliss, follow what feels good. The more that you do that, the more wealth you create in your life. I love you so much. Tell me how this episode landed for you. Send me a DM on Instagram, send me an email, send me a voice note, send me whatever. I respond, listen to absolutely everything. I love you so much, and I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye. Look at you investing in your rich life one episode at a time. You're not just listening, you're leveling up. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, or prayers, slide into my inbox at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or in my DMs on Instagram at oldmoneypodcast. If this episode made you laugh, think, or write down a single note, please do me a solid and rate, review, and subscribe. It takes less time than your morning scroll, and it helps this show reach more future millionaires. And speaking of growing the network, please share this with your ambitious bestie, your business buddy, or your secretly rich aunt. Please share the gospel of old money, and I will be more grateful than a trust fund kid on distribution day. Thank you for being here. I'm rooting for your bank account, and I will catch you on the next episode of Old Money. Remember, I am not your lawyer, I am not your tax professional, and I am not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners and their personal and professional development, and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice.